Bear hugs. That's what he gives bears. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
When this guy wants to go skiing, he just knocks down a couple of birch trees and straps them onto his feet, and off he goes. He is the Doc on Outdoor Journal Radio. He is the fishing editor for Outdoor Canada magazine. His name is Gord Pizer. Good morning, Gordy.
Good morning, Andrew. I think the last time I went downhill skiing was about the same time you did.
It was a long time ago. I'll tell you how long ago it was. And for those people that are just into skiing now, back then, the highest profile skis you could buy, and the model and length was a 170 Rossignol. I don't even know whether they're still in business or not. But the length was 170s, because back then they went through a trend. Long skis to shorter skis, and everybody moved from 190s down to 170s. That's how long ago. That's 30-some-odd years ago. But it was fun. You know what? Skiing is like any other. You know, it's like ice fishing, Gordy. If you don't participate in it, if you're looking at it from the curb, if it's the parade that you're watching from the sidelines, you say, I don't know, maybe it's not for me. But once you get out and try it and do it, man, it's for you, all right.
And Ange, on the last time I did was at Mont Tremblant in Quebec, and it was absolutely one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done. And I thought many, many times, why didn't I do it more often?
Well, I'm going to ask you that.
Too many lakes calling me.
Exactly. So you have it's prioritizing, right? You get to it a is. Point. Where you can only do so many things, and obviously fishing is the thing that we prefer to do when we have spare time than some of these other activities. But it doesn't mean it's any better or worse, you know?
Oh, absolutely not. It was so enjoyable. I remember skiing downhill, and some of the runs at Tremblant were like 8-9 miles, and you'd come downhill weaving through the woods, and it was at night, all lit, and music playing. It was fantastic.
That thing Johnny was talking about, I don't know whether you've ever experienced it or not, about that skating through the woods at night. It is another unbelievable activity that most people need to try at least once in their life.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, talk to me about how was the Canadian Ice Fishing Expo in Barrie?
Oh, it was fantastic. It truly, truly was. You know, this was year three, and it's an annual event, but I really do think it's going to grow and grow and grow. You know, the little segments, whether they're fly fishing or musky fishing, and in this case, obviously, ice angling, I do think the ice fishing segment, they're really, really unique, and the guys and gals are so passionate. And I really think this is going to grow in leaps and bounds. It was so well done. I got to meet Steve, too. Steve came up right after the show last week. That was the highlight, one of the highlights of my weekend down there, truly.
Oh, thanks, Gord.
But it was, Steve. You know, we've talked, and that was kind of the neat thing, you know, with social media these days. We're friends, if you will, with so many people. And I had so many folks come up that I've emailed, I've chatted on Instagram, I've talked to them on Facebook, and we've never shook hands. And this was the opportunity to do it. And it was really, really cool. I honestly, truly enjoyed doing it.
It was really weird because I've been talking to Gord for 6 years on this show and off air for the TV show, and I've never met him once. And I went down there to check out the show and then shook hands, gave him a hug, started chatting, and then he had to go on stage. But it was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And you thought it was a good show too, eh, Steve?
Yeah, it was pretty packed when I got there.
Yeah, it was jam-packed.
I don't see why it won't just keep growing. I mean, especially in that area, anything around Lake Simcoe for ice fishing, it's just got to be on a upward trend right now for sure, as far as growth goes. Anything? Did you learn anything, Doc?
And you never don't learn things.
Exactly.
And that's the other, you know, you and I have been doing this for a long time, and people come up and they think we know it all, and you and I will be the first to say we do not know it all. And I go down there and I'm listening in on the seminars, but even, you know, you walk on the floor. I met a couple of guys, and Telly was one of the fellows. I remember his name. And he started showing me pictures, Ange, of northern pike that he catches in around the northern Muskoka's Parry Sound. That's about as close as I can go without giving away his secret. Yeah. Ange, I haven't seen pike that big in Saskatchewan.
Whoa.
I'm not kidding you. I'm talking about 25, 28, 29-pound. These things were monsters. And then we started talking about techniques and those sorts of things. I mean, how can you not learn, no matter how many times you've done it, when you compare, you know, I'm up here in northwest Ontario, and he's down there in the Muskoka area, and we're comparing notes, we're comparing time of day when we catch them, size of baits, types of baits. If you're not learning something down doing those sorts of things, boy, you're making a big mistake.
So how would you categorize that audience? Are they more experienced or less experienced than, say, folks that go to, I don't know, the Toronto Sportsman Show as an example? Did you find that these ice fishing fanatics know more about their deal than most anglers?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I would say that these were the keeners. So this was a show of keeners. Now, that's not to say there weren't some folks. I met a couple of gals, Ange, from the St. Lawrence River. One gal, Erica, from the St. Lawrence River at Chatham, she and her husband. And you go, wow, you know, these guys and gals are really, really keeners. Now, I'm sure there were folks there coming to learn. You know, they were novices and whatnot. But it's kind of like a specialty show, I guess. So I think if you were to go to a fly fishing show, I've never actually gone to one, to be honest, but I think if you were to go, you would find most of the fly anglers were pretty avid people. And yeah. I think that was the same with the ice angling show. And I guess, you know, if there's somewhere they could grow, maybe it is attracting all those folks. I gave them some suggestions afterwards, and it might be to grow, you know, don't make it too specific, if you will, and to avid keeners, and get the new folks who want to say, you know, I've never fished Simcoe before, or I've never ice fished in my life. I want to learn how to do it. You could do it here, and that's the folks I think they need to keep grabbing on and bringing them in.
It wasn't that long ago, Gordon, you're in the same boat I'm in. It wasn't that long ago that we thought ice fishing was just sort of an extension of what we do all summer long. And because there's no open water left, we say, okay, well, let's go out and spend a few days on the ice. It's not the case. I found out a while ago that that's not the case. It's its own entity. And in fact, there's a lot. I know at least three within my circles that don't even fish in the summertime. They won't fish without ice. That's all they do is ice fish.
And that's the funny thing, Ange. I'm down. When I was down last week, we'd been on the ice for 5 weeks now. And it was like putting a stake in these guys' and gals' hearts when I said, you know, we've been out for five. You're absolutely right. I think a lot of them, many of them, don't even fish in the summer. If they do, they're more casual fishermen and fisher gals in the summer, and they are so keen in the winter. They can't wait for cold weather. They can't wait for snow. They can't wait to get the ice shelters up and the portables, and they can't wait to get their snow machines and ATVs running. These folks love ice fishing.
And they love the outdoors, and they're very hardy people, very healthy people. God bless them all. What's happening this week? Oh, first of all, I'm assuming as soon as you got back home, you went ice fishing this week or no?
Real quick story. I got to tell you this, Ant, because I was thinking about you. About 7 or 8 weeks ago, we did a little segment on the show here, and I talked about, you know, I think Liam and I were actually musky fishing at the time in the boat, and I made a quick run to a spot we had done so well on, and we talked about now's the time in the end of the open water. Go to your better spots, even take your ice sonar or your handheld GPS and punch in some of those critical waypoints. So anyway, Liam and I had got on this magnificent jumbo yellow perch bite, and I specifically went probably 10 miles out of my way in the boat and went right to the spot where I had GPSed on the boat sonar, and I brought along the ice sonar, and I punched those waypoints in. I went there yesterday, Ange, and they were waiting for me. They were waiting for me.
You're killing me.
Sometimes when those plans work out, you seem like you're a hero. And I thought, geez, we talked about this on the show about 8 weeks ago. Exactly. And I was rigging my bait, putting my hooks onto the line, and I'm looking on the sonar, and they're swimming by before I even got my hook down.
Great story, Gordy. Great one to end it off. I want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. And we'll talk to you in the new year, my friend.
You and Steve, too, guys. Have a Merry, Merry Christmas.
Gord Peiser, the doc for Outdoor Canada Magazine. Check him out, outdoorcanada.ca. That are it, folks. I want to wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas on behalf of the entire Outdoor Journal team. Stephen Labadie behind the glass, John Winters, our producer, you heard him earlier on. Derek Brandale, Jessica Ellis, I'm Angelo Viola. Merry Christmas to all of you. We'll talk to you next year. Bye now.